Well, upon request, this morning I'm going to start a series called the Ten Commandments. The plan is to cover one commandment each week until we're done. But no promises. We may take a break somewhere between now and 10 weeks from now if the Holy Spirit lays on me a message that he would have that they would want me to say and give. I will listen to that Holy Spirit. But we'll get back to the Ten Commandments. I'd say the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Or it's pretty complicated. This is a hard one for me to preach on this command, because to me it's just, what else is there to say? You shall have no other gods before me. So bear with me this morning. As I stumble through the words that I have scripted out. So I want to ask you this morning, who is your God? Say, well, that's a silly question. Of course we all know who our God is. Do we? Or do we think we do? Let me give you an example. As you have read about the children of Israel as they wandered in the desert, the Bible shows them to be very selfish people. They complained about the manna. They complained about this. They complained about that. At one time, they even said they wanted to go back to Egypt, back into the slavery that the generation after generation has experienced for 400 years. Nothing seemed to satisfy their craving. At the first opportunity they had, they forsake. What's the proper word for that? Forsake God. And started longing for something more. In this first commandment, God declares that he alone is God. And they were to have no other gods before them. So I challenge you this morning, as we look around, I suggest the same problem exists. Hopefully this commandment declares our answer. God is our God. And there is no other. Now you would think we could just end the sermon right there. And maybe I should, I don't know. The children had been enslaved for 400 years. If a generation is 40 years, that is 10 generations spent in that pagan culture. But again, I want to say there is only one God. After four generations without any exposure to the scriptures, without any ability to meet and worship for 400 years, it seems as though it is easy to have other gods before us. Jesus reiterates this as well as many of the other commandments. Jesus was very emphatic about no other gods. Mark 4:10, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Excuse me. Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and stuff. Matthew 22:36-40. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets are hanging on these two commandments." The entire Old Testament law and prophecies are summarized by loving God with everything we have and our neighbors as ourselves. If we have no other God before us, and if we love and worship only that one almighty God, truly, within our hearts, within our minds, within our being, within our actions, within our words, then it is not hard to not have any other gods before us. But if our attention or our eyes or our mind strays to something else, if we get to a point where we are not happy with the manna, we are hungry for something else, then it's easy to start worshiping something else in place of worshiping our God. Jesus truly taught that God alone is supreme. Martin Luther said, "To have a God is to trust and believe in that one with your whole heart. You lay hold of God when your heart grasps him and clings to him." Quoted from Martin Luther. This command impacts us as our core. This is what we're all about. This is why we were created. This is why we exist today. This is why we are blessed with all the things that we have. Because we heard Jesus Christ telling us. We read the commandments on a regular basis here in this church. And the first one which some scholars interpret the first one as the most important one. I'm not sure I subscribe to that or not. But the point I'm trying to make is you shall have no other gods before you is extremely important because of how it affects us as we live our life, how it affects us as we worship or lack of worship. God is our God. Then it changes who we are and how we live. I touched on this earlier. If God really, truly is our God, if we do not have any other gods before us, then every bit of our being, every bit of our core centers around our Creator. All that we do, all that we feel like doing, all that we are tasked to do are based on we have no other God before us. Does that kind of lay the importance of this, kind of lay it out for you a little bit maybe? The Bible teaches clearly that obedience springs blessings from the Lord. The Bible has told us through and through and through, if we love the Lord, if we have no other gods before us, if all that we do are based on that love for that God, the God, then we will truly be blessed. Say we'd have money. I didn't say we'd have a big new house. I didn't say we'd have a new car. I didn't say we'd have this or this or this or this. I said we will be blessed. What are we blessed with? What God chooses to bless us with. Because He is the one and only God, which means He is the one and only that can shower blessings on us. Nobody else. When we obey this command, it leads us directly to Jesus. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Isn't that powerful? How often do we just recite out of memory, for God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, period? Do we continue on for the next two verses? If we do, and that was my hope here this morning, it shows us the love that God has for us is so strong. And it explains to us that the number one most important thing God wants from us is for us to love him enough to not have any other gods before us. You can't describe that amount of love. You can't, it's hard to comprehend or understand that God can love us that much. And if we do, then it is not hard to understand that he commands that we have no other God before him. When parents tell their children, this is going to hurt me more than you, I was never convinced that it did. It's kind of the same thing here. But I believe it closer. That if we don't follow that command, it will hurt God more than it hurts us. Disobedience hurts us, but it also hurts God. Because if we disobey, that means that we are not giving enough attention to the first commandment of no other God before us. Because of our sinfulness, we get carried away by helplessness and hopelessness. Now, what am I saying here? Because of our sinfulness. Well, the reference to this sinfulness thing is we have other gods before us. And because of that, we get carried away. We don't go to church. We don't do this. Or that's more important. Or all of these things that we are that we are confronted with or challenged with. All of these worldly things. And if we ignore the commandment and pursue all of these things, they soon become the God, taking the place of the God. And obeying the command means we put God first in our lives. First in priority. First in our love. First in everything. We are called to make a choice every day of our lives. Am I going to pursue this? Or am I going to take time to love on God? Am I going to acquire this? Am I going to go to this meeting or this party or this whatever? Or am I going to spend time in devotion, in the scripture, and praying? Throwing our love on God. You see, today and in modern churches, we can feel God. Or at least we think we can. We break this commandment more than all of the rest of them. How do we do that? Well, listen to these statistics. In the 21st century, It seems we are sacrificing our families, our kids, and even our culture on the altar of earthly opportunities. Catch that? What am I saying here? What does it say to young minds when more times, more money, and more energy is spent on softball, seminars, soccer, football, vacations, and all other things that in God's house with God's people than being in church? What does that say? What does it say when the Lord's Day becomes the best day for family outings, which leaves God out? What are we saying to our children? What are we saying to ourselves? Remember, we shall have no other God before us. What message is conveyed when we claim to love God, but put Him and His church in second place? Or third place? Or worse? What or who in your schedule claims to be your God? You know, this commandment, this first commandment, this is a Gary Zinger opinion, okay? Is the easiest one for Satan to use against us. It's the easiest one that Satan can talk us into breaking when we don't even really know it. We're not aware of it. We are so blind to it. What evidence is there about your God being displayed in your life? I think if we would take time to take a personal inventory of ourselves, our stuff, our attitude, or our time that we spend making disciples of all men, or the time that we spend in devotion and prayer because of the love we have for God, I think that the answer that comes out of that would be real interesting if we really truly looked at that rather than blindly going forward and blindly putting something else that takes the place of the God in your life. How often do you study the Word of God? Just on Sunday morning when somebody else reads it for you? How often do you spend time in devotion? How often do you study the Bible? I'm not talking about just reading the words. We have this program in our bulletins of, I don't know, is it every week or every day, whatever it is, we give a scripture that can be read. How many follow that? How many read that scripture and then put your Bible down and go on to something better? You see my point? When there is another God in our life, it's easy for Satan to tell us that something else is more important than taking time studying the Word of God, or talking with God, or worshiping God. Because then we have broken a commandment that says we shall have no other God before us. I'm going to ask you this question. How much does God's Word control your decisions? When you have a decision to make, do you take it to God? Or do you go ahead and buy it? And the result is whatever that is another God that is before you. How often do we tell God that He is our God? How often in our words and deeds and actions do we display to God that He is our God? How often do we tell God we love you and we thank you for loving us more than anything else? As I started out, this commandment was really hard for me to put a sermon to get together over this really simple command. My attempt this morning was to try and point out that we have other gods before us that we are not even aware of. My attempt this morning is to show you the benefit of having no other God before you, and to show you the consequences if you don't. So I leave it with you this morning. Take that inventory. Figure out where you're at with following the commandments. And all of God's people said,